Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Lord, for another Sunday here in your service with your people. Please receive our worship, Lord, and we love you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Delight yourselves in the Lord. Delight Delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Delight yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel.
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time in Colossians lately. It's like, gets to be a good habit. I've had this, like a picture in my mind, you know, like you see these huge waves in Hawaii, and you got the guy riding the wave, you know, on a surfboard, like cowabunga dude. And the guy is, I mean, he's actually exercising skill to be able to do it, but really not effort. He's riding the wave. The power is in the wave, you know. And that would be like us. You got the power of God, this wave pushing you forward, and it's actually a fantastic experience, I would have to think, and not really anything you're doing. So let's go to Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. See, this is, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, submission and doing the right thing, all of which should be there. But if you can, like, step back and look at what's going on, this is painting a picture. It's a path forward for us. It's a path of peace and life in the here and now. You know, like they say, there is pie in the sky by and by. But this life for us can be peaceful, can be pleasant if we'll allow it to be. So let's keep going down on this. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now, let me stop right there. We did walk in all those things. And the truth is, even in our Christian faith, there may be points in time where these things creep back up on us and we slip. And that's what the grace of God is for. But you know, you didn't start looking up because things were going so good, did you? You know, in AA they would tell us, well, NA, you're not capable of managing your own affairs. And that's a true statement. No man is capable of managing his own life. And we come to Christ and we accept his way, his redemption, his word. And when we follow it, you know, life is better. If it wasn't so, I don't think we would stick with it. So, verse 8. But now ye... So now you're a Christian. Now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, saying that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So it's a choice. You, as a believer, now at least have the ability to make the choice. Before we come to Christ, we don't have that power within us. But we're baptized in his blood, filled with his spirit, and we at least have the option when the stuff comes up. Not saying we always do it right, but you could. You could if you chose in the moment. And as we make those choices and our lives change to mirror his life, that's that peace. And this, 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And this is something that I have been learning as I go, and definitely see it at work, because work tends to be a pressure cooker, and things happen really rapidly, and there's a lot of weight of responsibility, and I know I'm ill-suited for it. I'm not the right guy. I mean, I know it. You've heard, you know, Philip for years now. Phil, you actually bumped up recently, didn't you? You've got that shop, Dorchester, number 6. See, here's a guy, Phil's a very average, hardworking, average guy, but you see the grace of God working through that stuff. And that's a whole lot of moment by moment by moment choices through the years. And now you can see, in this case, you can see physically that things have changed for the good, and good for the guys under him too. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. I was running plumbing yesterday. I got that plumbing glue on my thumb, and then my thumbprint wouldn't work on my phone for a long time. All right, 2 Peter 1, I'll just start at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I love that, through the righteousness of God. One thing, I guess this is a bit of an aside, but if God had a problem, I guess God could have a problem, it was how to justify us and still remain just himself. You know, we think commonly we have to somehow measure up to this thing. But the issue that part of what sent Jesus to the cross is God's looking at us going, okay, how do I fix this? This is really bad. How do I fix it? And when he took that sin on himself, then he could be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Christ Jesus. And, let's just follow this thought on down. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So his divine power has given us everything that we need, whereby are giving to us, the church, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Ooh, your faith. We know it's the faith of God in us that saves us, but he has given us faith. And we have that faith spread in a gazillion different ways. But as that faith gets focused in on him, I'm talking about your faith. Your faith focuses in on Christ. These things can happen. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, you're in for the win, man. You aren't called to fail. You're not called to fail. We've been given everything. the blood of Christ to purge us, the faith to believe. You know, and I've spent a whole lot of my life feeling just under the gun, you know, unworthy, can't do it, you know, and it's just miserable. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. The last few weeks have been pretty cool, man. I was kind of, I think we were talking about it on the Hour of Truth, man. When you roll up 17, they got that, it's kind of a new industrial park on the left if you're heading towards Somerville, and there's a pond over there. You know that pond? And that thing is like glass. And I look at that on the way in to work, and I think, you know, peaceful waters where the still waters flow. So that could be me. I mean, it could be me right now because, you know, I've got English breakfast tea here, my family around me, but that can be me when it's, you know, Brad, I need you to come to the lab. But that is not what I want to hear at work, come to the lab. But even in the midst of all the stuff, this rapid fire, and in the past, like, my guts would just be in a twist, and I'd come home, and, I mean, everything that goes with having your guts in a twist for, you know, 10 or 12 hours, misery, just misery. And I'm finding by committing to Christ, and I have to kind of step myself back. I mean, it's let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's choice. Let the peace of God rule. And the word is true. And he said that he would walk not just to save us. That's kind of the easier thing to believe. But in the middle of it, in the middle of whatever it is in your day, he's right there. And we can't add to our faith, virtue, knowledge. We can have charity toward each other. And it's just a better road. It's a better path. And I'll wrap it up, but ran a water line out here yesterday because we are setting up to have campers, you know, when people visit. And even in the simplest thing like that, you know, I got sunshine. I got my kids coming around. Got glue on my thumb, and I'm having to remember my iPhone code to get in, but it's all right. You know, I mean, it's pleasant. It's actually kind of fun. That's what I got. May the Lord bless y'all.
You sure you don't want to do this instead of me, right? You sure you don't want to do this instead of me, right? I figured you just want to go, and that way, you know, I could stay sitting down. Yeah. We have, I was kind of given the idea to talk about the putting on the whole armor of God, but Brad has drawn me back to Colossians. Yeah, it is. An easy pull for me. Oh, I'm making comedians out of work. Colossians 3, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. All right, now, that's the condition. When did you get risen with Christ? Baptism, right? Death, burial, and resurrection. Rise, old man dies, you rise to new life in Jesus Christ. Seek those things which are above. At that point, what down here is of consequence. You have just touched eternal life. You've risen into eternal life. Everything that happens here is transient. It's like a vapor. Comes out and it's gone. A breath. Where seek those things which are above, where Christ sits there wringing his hands about the potential outcome of what's going on down here on the earth and amongst the people who are supposed to believe in him. That say all that there. No, what does it say? He's sitting on the right hand of God. His work is finished. It's what he said at the cross. It's not just finished, it's completed. That's why you can trust in him and the new life you've risen into. That's why you can set your affections on things that are above and not on things on the earth. That's permanent. This, not so much. And it's even less so for you in your flesh. You're not guaranteed the next breath. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, referring to baptism. You have been baptized into the life of Jesus Christ. When he rose, so did you. Into victory over bondage and sin and death. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Right now, when you're in him, you're sitting on the right-hand side of God. That's what it means to be baptized into his life. So it's natural. When he appears, we're going to be appearing with him. If we be in him. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And that's the key word in that verse. All that stuff is evidence of idolatry. And idolatry is akin to the original sin. Lucifer fell because he had another God besides the Father. He said, I can do it. I can be like God. That's idolatry. It's the root cause of our flesh's failing. We want to be God. And we're not equipped to. When Adam fell, so did we. So how the fact that all this stuff that I just read can yet apply to me is a mystery wrapped up in Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And I did that again I actually said the words, didn't trip over them. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There's still a comeuppance coming. And however bad they might think they have it here and now, it's going to get worse fast. Ugly. Fast and ugly. Because the Lord will not tolerate all this forever. There's coming a judgment. What was the last thing I read? Six? Okay. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But you don't live in that anymore. You've been baptized into Jesus Christ. You live in Him. And that stuff's in the rearview mirror and losing sight fast. That's the way to keep that stuff is disappearing. Smaller and smaller in the rear. But now, ye put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And as we kind of have a want to do, we kind of tend to want to segregate these things, and none of those things there are, you know, seemingly all that bad, and there's mostly stuff that you can't see in people if they have it. Right? Unless they desire you to see it. It's got to do with intents and motives and this kind of thing. But this is the kind of thing that matters to the Lord. It's about the abundance of the heart. Are you yielding to Him? Are you pursuing the life that you've supposedly been baptized into? Are you trying to delight in the Lord? Are you trying to please the Lord? Are you obeying the word of the Lord? These are critical things. Some of which are not always obvious. But He knows your heart. The Pharisees' screw up was they thought it was all about what you could see. When the testimony of those who went before them was it wasn't about what you could see at all. The Lord, who was the Lord had relationship with? Thieves. Murderers, adulterers, people who came to Him on their knees and repented, people who trusted Him for their salvation. So to get caught up in what things look like, look, appearances are deceiving. But I digress. The two things that I want to get out of this thing today, maybe more, but the two that I want to focus on. Number five, verse five, mortify therefore your members. This is something that you can do because you have now the access and the ability to do that in the baptism into the life of Jesus Christ. You have a choice now. You're not bound. You're not in bondage to sin and death anymore. These are choices you can make. And if you would want to prosper in that life of Jesus Christ, you make these choices. and people will know it. People will be able to see it. You're going to look free. You're going to act free. You're going to want to hang out with other people who are free. And the second thing is, now because you're there, you can put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, lying not to one another. That means lying not to one another is loving them enough to tell them the truth, even though they may hate you for it and never speak to you again. Because it's more important for you to tell them the truth of the word, the truth of the revelation the Lord has shown you, to be bold in doing so at the risk of rejection. You can't deal with Jesus Christ without seeing the rejection that he received all the way to the cross. What does Isaiah say? I know what it says. The question is, can I find it? It says something like he was rejected of men. There was nothing comely. Isaiah 53, but I can't even seem to locate the book. You know it's in here. Read it for me. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Do we think that his servants, his followers, those he died for, that we're going to miss the same kind of rejection when we're devoted to the truth of his word? Do we think anybody's going to treat us any differently? Absolutely not. So this is a full disclosure thing here. And it's an opportunity for you to yet choose. Whether you're going to put off the offense of the flesh, because all that's going to offend the flesh, something fierce. And along with it, all the fruit of the flesh, which is what I call verse 8. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the flesh is anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and lies. Lies to people, not for the purpose of deceiving them, but to make them think you're a nicer guy than you are. Lying to people because you want them to like you. That's selfish. That's not walking as Jesus walked. How many? I know that's the number one thing on this page. I'm guilty of a lot of these things in here. But that's the number one flaw in my character over the course of my life, is I spent a lot of time lying so people would like me. And that's not even what most people in the world consider an offense. They consider that, you know, a white lie. Come on, man. Really. But it's a motive and intent of the heart, and it places you in a position of idolatry. And more fundamentally and basically, it's against the instruction of the word. It's not going to profit you at all, nor is it going to profit or minister to the hearer at all. That's a filthy communication. And the challenge. You have all this available to you now. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. Doesn't matter who you know, doesn't matter who your family is, none of that stuff matters. But Jesus Christ, all that matters is, have you repented and have you received him? Because if you've done that, don't matter if you're a murderer, adulterer, a thief, it doesn't matter who you are. You don't get it by osmosis. Who you know is not going to help you. It's what is your relationship with Jesus Christ like? If you don't have one, you better get one. I'm done.
Page 27.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. He is risen. And he lives forevermore. He is risen. He is risen. Come on and celebrate.
Jesus. I mean, applause for me is this. I mean, what is that going to do? No good at all. And don't need to be applauding for me because I have done nothing. But cause mess, not clean it up. The Lord cleans up mess. Amen. And, you know, one of the things that, I mean, Paul, you were talking about is you're looking at the choice that you now have. Where Colossians talks about set your affections on things that are above, not on things on the earth. And see, he starts out with that baptism, and it was a good point that you brought in the baptism, because before the baptism, before you were baptized in him, see, you were a bondage to all those things in the flesh. I mean, you were in bondage to those things. You really had no choice. It might have had many different flavors, looked many different ways. I mean, some were very outgoing and some things, and the flesh is just, you know, very ugly. Some flesh is, tries to be dressed up all pretty, but it's all sin and death and corruption and points people to themselves that can't save anything. I mean, the thing's cursed. Let me just put it that way. To just sum it up all simply, the thing is absolutely cursed. But what we have now is we have a freedom and a choice to walk in that which the Lord has given us. That new man. And one of the things that you were talking about, Brad, was peace. And you can have peace, and you had a great day yesterday around here putting in the faucet and had your family around, you had peace. But the other thing you were talking about, but that you can also have peace when you're at work, when everything's coming down upon you. And I know. It's just coming from every direction, and the thing's freaking impossible, and you're getting pressed like you wouldn't believe, like you're being pressed in a food processor and getting stirred up and spit out. Is that about how it feels? That's how it felt for me many times. It just happened yesterday, by a matter of fact. But anyways, praise God. But the peace that we're talking about, the peace that we are going to need to have is with our Lord Jesus Christ. With the Father. We're not at war with God anymore. See, and He's the one that paid the price that we could have peace with God. I mean, the fact is, if you look at Acts, and that perception, and I'm kind of switching back to something else that Paulie said, but the perception of what this happens in this life is but a vapor. But look into what the victory He has already accomplished. And that where we are to be at is at the right hand of God. Above all those principalities, powers, all those things that are in this world that tries to drag you down, tear you up, chew you up, and spit you out. But see, if you're resurrected with Him, then you abide in Him up there. But what you see is when you also have that scripture where it says, I have no where Jesus talks about, and maybe somebody can help me look it up, and that is where I have not sent peace on earth, but a sword. And He talks about the father-in-law against the son, and it goes down the list there. And the reason is because, look, and it also talks in Matthew, blessed be the peacemakers. The peace with one another just doesn't matter, folks. I mean, we ought to live peaceably with all man that as much that lieth in us. That's not what I'm getting at. But the peace with one another is not going to save you. Matthew 10:34. I'm going to turn there. Have a bookmark right here in Matthew, and I'm like flying right past it. So okay, Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword, for I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be that of his own household. He that loveth father more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Glad we got here. Praise God. It's good to wrap these things up pretty simply. But what you got is that all of a sudden, what did you find with the Christians in Acts? I mean, were they not beaten? Were they not stoned? Were they not killed? How about the old prophets that talked about Jesus and testified of where the people were at? Were they not beaten? Were they not stoned? Were they not killed? Were they not persecuted? Absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely what happened. Now, it's one thing to be beaten or stoned just because you're a freaking jerk. Well, what good does that do? It just shows that you're a big enough jerk to get stoned. Great. But it's another thing if you're out there and you are preaching the word of God. See, the world hates Jesus. The world hates Jesus. And if you are in league with Jesus, and you are standing in Him as His body here on earth, don't you think the world's going to persecute you too? It's going to happen. And there's going to be some that hear you, and that's why you're out there preaching the word. That's why you're preaching the gospel. Is because there are those that are there to receive the gospel. I mean, you had the same thing with Jesus. Paul, you're talking about who was with, who he had a relationship with, the thieves, the robbers, and all these people that repented. Now, that's the key word. They repented. They heard that word. They heard that new, that good news, and they repented. But no, the ones that looked good and were pretty and were dressed and sit in the high places, man, they set up counsel to kill him. How do you think it's going to be any different if we're doing the same? You know, it says in Scripture, blessed are the peacemakers. And it's an interesting thing is blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers there, man, are the people that are there preaching the gospel, the peace of the gospel with their soul. Being right, reunited back to the Spirit and having peace with who? God. To get that peace is unconditional surrender is what Paul says. Unconditional surrender to Him. But sometimes there's some nasty that goes on before there's peace. A lot of times what you have from nation to nation is what? There's a war, then there's what? A peace treaty. That happens. Sometimes that can be very, very ugly. I mean, when you've seen Stephen and when he stepped up and he told them about where they were at and his face turned as an angel and as he ministered the truth unto the people, they ran and they stoned him. What is his response? Father, for do not lay this sin to their charge. Just a lot like Jesus. But taking that point and making that choice, and Paul, you were talking about that full disclosure there. It's, man, all of a sudden, this life matters nothing to me. And that choice is this life should matter nothing to you. All that matter is Jesus' life. That's important. See, that's important. And be willing to lay down your life, actually, not in just the natural sense, but in the daily sense of, man, Him being Lord of your life. Paul talks about, I die daily. But laying down your life to the service for Him. Because it's not your own anymore. What does he say in Romans 12? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Look, he bought it. He paid for it. He paid for it with his blood. And what is good about this natural life? Nothing. It's but a vapor. He purchased it and he gave you what? A better life, an eternal life of one sitting up there in the right hand of the throne of God. That life. And let's all face it, has not the life he's given us down here been 50 times better any freaking way? I mean, amen. But that's not where we dwell. We don't hang on to that which he's given us in the sense of this natural life. No, it's yes, Lord. Whatever you have me do. When it's time for Brad to go to Texas, it's yes, Lord. I'm ready to go. When it's time for me to go to Texas or wherever the Lord may point me out, yes, Lord, I need to be ready to go. Because I'm about serving Him, and you need to be about serving Him, and I need to be about serving Him. And that's a daily thing. That's a daily thing. And you don't count this life as nothing. See, when you set your affections on things above and things not on this earth, man, you lay down all the things that are, you lay down your affections turns to serving Him, and that's all that matters. And in order for you to do that, man, you got to lay down that old carnal man. You can't hug up to it. You can't receive them as the best thing that's ever happened to you. You got to put that old man down. You got to give up the first to get the other. And a lot of times what we like to do is hug up the old man. It's like me going and hanging out with the town drunk and getting absolutely life advice from him of how to be successful in this world. And I use that by, because a town drunk could give me the gospel, which nobody, but getting trying to be successful in this world. And it's just absolute nonsense. You wouldn't go doing that. But see, when we go and we listen to that old man, and we listen to that flesh of ours, that's what we're doing. We're taking counsel of the things of this world, that old man, that cursed thing. We're sitting there, it's like, but what does it do? It makes us feel good, doesn't it?
The thing that Jesus nailed was, you can't serve two masters. And we want to hang on to both of them. We think we can take from both of them and, you know, lay one on the other and come out of that righteous. It just doesn't work.
You can't serve
two masters.
Well, you become double-minded.
That's right.
Is what happens. You become absolutely double-minded. Your desire's here, but then you kind of want to go over here. No, man, you set yourself like flint to go and you serve the Lord no matter what the cost is. No matter what the cost is. No matter if somebody goes and kills you by just going and being obedient unto him. It just doesn't matter. And see, so the cost of it is everything in this world. Everything in this life. Everything you have. You lay it down. The servant is not greater than his master. And it costed Jesus his life so that we could have it. You think it's going to be any different with us? It's not. But I know on the back side of turning my life over to Jesus Christ, it's been filled with joy. It's been filled with love. It's been filled with grace. It's been filled with peace with him. Yeah, I've had to go through some trials. Yeah, I had to go through some tribulation. Yeah, I've had to be hated on a little bit. But praise God. All these things has been for my good, not my harm. All these things has been for my perfection, not my hurt. See, he's a kind, loving father. And he wants the best things for you. The best things for you. And the condition of where you're at, if you died right now, if you were just struck down, is going to be no different condition than when you're up there. I don't know about you, but that scares me. Yeah. You can't hear me online? Is that better? Okay. But that scares me. So what does he do? He perfects us and he uses all those situations, whether it be bad or good, to perfect us. And we can trust him for just that. He can trust them for just that. And what gets exposed through these trials and tribulation, it just really, all it goes to show you is really where your heart is at. Are you about serving him? Are you about him at all? Have you laid down your life? I don't know, as I go through some of these things, light shows on areas that I have not. But he's good, and he's faithful, and he has done a work in me. Amen. But I know there is still a big work to be done, and he's well able to finish that work. And not for that, in the midst of it, guess what gets, who gets glorified? He does. And what gets manifested is the gospel. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. But he cannot make you make that choice to choose and follow him. It's there for you. He paid for it, eternal life. It's right there for you to receive. All those lessons are right there for you to learn. It's right there. It's up to you to grab a hold of it. Why do you think in Colossians it says to set your affections on things above? He's telling you to do that. The Jesus Christ has set you free to do just that. And he's given you everything to walk in that. But you choose just to believe him for it and trust him for it. And be willing. And be willing to grab a hold of it at whatever cost. Just like Jacob when he wrestled with Jesus. At whatever the cost, to the point it dislocated his leg, was not going to let go. We need to grab a hold of those things in the same manner. There's too many times we have let that go and let that prize go and let that prize go. It's still been there. We just let it go. But we let it go over some circumstance, over some situation, over something that just really doesn't matter in the great by and by. You look at Stephen's perspective, you look at Jesus' perspective, you look at Paul's perspective in that whole thing. They were willing to die. Didn't matter. It just really didn't matter. Stephen getting stoned was like, perspective, he saw the Lord stand up off his throne. That mattered to him. What was going on with them here in the natural didn't. Jesus died on the cross for what? The joy that was set before him. So he can give that eternal life to his friends, his disciples that chose him. Or he chose them, actually. But so that he can give it to them. And not just as them only. Anybody that would hear their word. Kind, loving Father. We need to be operating the same way, same manner. We're all different parts of the body, but for what? One purpose. Amen.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the realm, you son of Abraham, through the power of your hand, you turned the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near, though the people could not see what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done in the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Falling down on me. Fall more than the ladder rain together.
together. And I'm not talking about the weather. The Holy Ghost rain is falling down on me. I feel the rain.
Feel the rain.
Feel the rain.
I feel the rain.
I feel it falling down on me. Falling down on me. The former and the latter rain together. And I'm not talking about the weather. The Holy Ghost rain is falling down on me.
All right.
Have a wonderful Sunday, everyone.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.